Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
Well, we praise God that when they went to the tomb to see if Jesus was there, he wasn't there. And that's the big difference between, sometimes I don't like using the word Christianity, but if we want to categorize it in regards to religion, that's the difference between Christianity and every other religion out there. When they went to the tomb of many of the different religious leaders that started different religious groups, those people were still there. But when they went to the tomb to see if Jesus was there, he wasn't there. Amen? And that is the huge difference. But as we talk about today and Resurrection Sunday, that I was joking, laughing at what the kids were saying, and they wanted to keep Jesus dead and in the tomb. It was like, all right, something else happened. Come on, let's get there. But it is very true that a lot of times when we think about Easter, we do think of the cross. And I think that is very important that we do think of the cross, because without the cross, there's no resurrection. Amen? But we cannot get stuck at the cross. There are some religions, and as I said, when I grew up, I was raised Catholic. When you look at the cross, they still have Jesus hanging on it. Anybody ever seen that? When you actually look at the cross or the rosary, you know, I used to carry those around with me as well. And they still have Jesus hanging on a cross. And I understand the reason for that, because it wants to be a reminder of what he did for us. But at the same time, if not careful, that image of Jesus still on the cross will get us to not finish the story. The story doesn't end with him in the grave. Amen. And that is the reason why we are here today. And I pray that God will remind us of what it is that Jesus went through. But wow, on the other side, his resurrection power is living in your life as well, if you are a believer of Jesus Christ. And so let's get into the word. And so if you haven't read about this lady named Mary Magdalene, we're going to talk about her a little bit. And what we want to do is look at the resurrection from her view. I love doing that, whether it's, let's look at this story in the Bible, either from the view of Jesus, let's look at it from the view of one of his disciples, or someone that Jesus touched their life. So we're going to look at the story through the view of Mary Magdalene. The title of this message is Go. And so my hope, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that at the end of this message, you will be fired up, pumped up, and ready to go. You say, well, Pastor Will, go and do what? You know, go and eat a good Easter meal, or go and do something. No, you can do that. You can do all of those things after service. But what I'm talking about is whatever it is that God has purposed you to do in this earth, that you are ready to move forward and go do it. And so last week I talked about, sometimes, you know, we may say amen, and amen in the Bible really means this: so be it. And so every time, if I'm up here and I say amen and y'all say amen back, guess what y'all saying? So be it in my life. So be it. Let God's will be done in my life. But last week I also talked about this phrase, like, lean in. So this is one of these Sundays, as we go through it, I'm going to ask, like, just lean in, which being like focus in on what it is that God may be speaking to you. But I want you to think about this. What is it that God has purposed you to do? What is the calling of God on your life? What is the ministry that God has given you? What is your purpose? What was the reason why God birthed you or created you or planted you in the earth at such a time as this? What is it? What is the will of God for your life? And is there anything that is trying to hold you back. And what is it? We're going to look at the life of this lady, Mary Magdalene, and there wasn't just one thing trying to hold her back. In fact, there was seven. So seven, Jesus came and cast out seven demons. And I want you to look at the scripture from that perspective of seven demons. And some people are like, oh my gosh, demons. All right, let's bring it in, 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 bring it in. And let's make it personal. Are there multiple things in our life that is standing or is a hindrance from us doing what it is that God has purpose in our life to do? What is it? And I'm praying that today, if it's not top of your mind, that the Holy Spirit will bring it up. And even if you need to write it down and say, yup, there's one thing. And you know what? And sometimes the things are not external. They are internal. And maybe it's not, you know, that person holding back. That people, they keep blocking me from promotion. Or that person, or anybody ever say, my kids, my kids, my kids. My kids are holding me back. My money's holding me back. Sometimes it's not the external thing. Sometimes it's what's going on the inside of us that is standing as a hindrance, almost as if you're trying to move forward and there's something on the inside of you that's actually saying, hold on, hold on, hold on. Because if you do that, then this will happen. And I don't know if we're ready for that. And today, God is challenging us to trust him. And I want to be, and the Holy Spirit, I believe as well, almost like a coach to push and motivate us today, including myself, even as I'm preaching, motivate us today, that whatever it is that God has purposed you to do in this earth, you're breathing, you have the faculty of your limbs for a reason, and God is saying today, go. And what is it? That is either an obstacle or something that you feel is holding you back. So I just said the word amen means so be it. Amen? Amen. All right, all right. This side said it real good. Amen? Amen? All right, all right. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to us? What does it mean? Why did Jesus come? John 10:10 says this. Jesus said, he said, the thief comes only, y'all know this verse, but to steal, kill, what? And destroy. But Jesus says, but I came that you might have what? Life and have it what? More abundantly. So that doesn't mean that just a little boy baby that was born came. We praise God for that, right? That just doesn't mean just Jesus, you know, getting lost with his parents as they were visiting Jerusalem. Not just that. This man that died for our sins said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And literally that means that so that the life that you have in God, it bubbles over into the life of someone else. What is that? What is that purpose that when you couple your life with Jesus, that purpose bubbles over and becomes a blessing in the life of someone else? What is that? What's on your fingerprint that God dropped you in the earth during this time and said, surrender your life to me so that together we can do something amazing? And again, what's holding you back? Think about that. There's another word in the Bible that says Selah. Pause and think about it for a moment. So we praise Jesus that he came and he was crucified and he died. And we look at that on the cross. But the resurrection, literally that word resurrection means to rise to action or a call to stand up for a purpose. And you may say, was that what Jesus did? Yes. Because if Jesus did not get up from the grave, then that means that his purpose, the intent for him coming to the earth would not have been fulfilled. If he didn't get up, there would be no salvation to offer to the world because he would have remained dead just like an animal did, right? So the animals were only able to cover sins. The blood of Jesus removed the sin. Wow. So that when God looks at us, when we receive Jesus, he doesn't see us as sinners. And some of us got to get that. He sees us as the righteousness of God because of our position in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus covers us. It literally, it cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And you say, well, Pastor Will, well, what happens when I mess up? You repent. You say, God, forgive me. And the Bible says that he is just and he's able to forgive me of what? All my sins. And do what? Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So if I mess up, don't stay there. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. And Jesus did not die a gruesome death on the cross for us to remain mentally in a state of sin. If I mess up, we had a mentor that used to say, forget it or admit it, forget it, and move on. Admit the fact that I did it, let it go, and move on. But some of us are stuck. Well, Lord, I can't do what you want me to do because of what I did. And Jesus said, did you see what I did? What I did is for what you would do. I already did because I knew you would do. So I need you to receive what I did so that you can do what God is calling you to do. Don't get stuck. Amen? And sometimes we get stuck in our own way. Just look at this lady here, Mary Magdalene. Prominent woman, prominent female disciple of Jesus Christ. Her name means that she was a female from the town of Magdala. She is often identified as a devoted follower of Jesus. She was present at Jesus' crucifixion and also a witness to his resurrection. Mary Magdalene is depicted as a woman from whom Jesus cast out, we'll look at this, seven demons in Luke 8:2. Her transformation from a troubled past to a faithful disciple exemplifies the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at her life. And so in Luke chapter 8, verse 1, it says, soon afterwards, Jesus began going around from one city and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 disciples were with him. So these are 12 that we are very familiar with. Let's keep going to verse 2. And then it says, and also women who had been healed of evil spirits, and I like to say it this way, diseases, because it's more than physical. It can be mental as well and spiritual. Mary, called Magdalene, from the city of Magdala in Galilee, from whom seven demons had come out. Let's park right here for a moment. That word healed, powerful. The word healed is the Greek word therapeutio, which is the word that we use in today's language, therapy. And so literally, when it says that the women who had been healed of evil spirits and diseases is literally saying that these women went through therapy. So this is for everybody that says, I don't believe in counseling or therapy. Jesus provided therapy for these women. What does that mean? Is that he not only healed, so whatever it was that was going on, so let's just say that the man with a withered hand, Jesus not only healed, but he continued to provide care until they were restored. Now, when it says that this woman had seven demons, if you know anything about the Bible, it talks about the number seven meaning completion. Seven demons. There's another scripture in the Bible that talks about how Jesus shares this parable, how the house was cleaned. And it says that one spirit went away and brought back seven more stronger. So there's something about the number seven. So I want you to look at this lady's life. It does not tell us what type of oppression, what these demons were doing to her. All it lets us know, which is the important part, is that Jesus told those demons they got to go. But he doesn't, please hear this, he doesn't leave her empty. He provides therapy for her. He provides care so that she is restored. So sometimes, and this is for all of us that, and I'll say this last week, we give our life to Jesus Christ and we're kind of like, we don't go all in. We kind of remain on the edge. But well, Jesus, thank you so much for getting rid of those seven things that was going on in my life. I'm good now, Jesus. But God is saying, I want to walk with you so that I can restore you. He's literally saying, I want to provide care for you so that you can do the work that I called you to do. It's not enough just to say, God, I surrender my life to you. I give my life. I've received Jesus as Lord and Savior. You've got to, one of the kids was saying this. He said, you got to walk this thing out. And some of us, we stop. Don't stop. This is for the person that's here on because of Easter. I'm talking to you. Don't stop. The person that's here because this is a new church. Don't stop. The person that's here because the weather is nice. The person because it's spring break. Don't stop. Because your kids said, we going to church today? There has to be a motivation in us that God, I want to be everything that you created me to be. And I just don't want to exist. God, I want to thrive in my relationship with you. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, I feel like right now I'm pulling people to a place. You're like, man, I don't know. Because last time I was out there, some crazy stuff happened. The last time the disciples was out on the water, some crazy stuff happened. But guess who came walking on the water right where they were? In the midst of the storm. So a storm doesn't mean that you are in the wrong place. It might mean that you're in the right place and God is just trying to get a little closer to you. So if you feel like you're out here and things are getting crazy, don't run to the shore. Stay on out here until you can see Jesus coming to you. And then when he gets close enough, because you've wiped the tears from your eyes, and then you ask, God, is this you? Are you in this storm with me, God? And as he said to Peter, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And what did Jesus say to him? Put it in my own words. Come on. And so if things are a little topsy-turvy right now, don't run for the hills. Yeah, she said, run for the hills. That's where my help comes from. Hey, stop. We run for the hills for a whole nother reason. I'm tired of this valley. And God is saying that it might be that the rumbling that you're experiencing in your life is to get you to get closer to God. And you will continue to experience the rumbling until you just keep coming to him. But what's happening is we're backing up. And God is saying, press in, lean in. Say as Jesus said, Lord, if it be your will, let this storm pass. Jesus said, let this cup pass from it. But he didn't stop there, did he? He said, nevertheless, not my will.
but your will be done. So the reason why you need to keep coming, you need to keep moving towards Jesus, is because you won't be able to handle this on your own. And God is literally saying to some of us today, stop trying to handle this on your own. He said, I am with you. Press into me even the more. Amen? So that word healing is literally therapy. So God, this is what the Lord is saying to us today, as he did with Mary Magdalene. Listen, it's not just about me casting out demons. I want to walk with you for the rest of your life, so that every area that this demon, this situation disrupted in your life, I can restore it. When it says evil spirits, evil bringing chaos. Anybody ever experienced chaos? Disruption, disorder, pain, or trouble, evil. And God is saying, if there's chaos, I want to restore the peace. If there's disruption, I want to align things again. But what God is saying, and where we see this in the life of Mary Magdalene, he's saying, but I need for you to be still and know that I am God. Because some of us, we move in too much. You're like me when I'm preaching, right? Constantly moving. And God is saying, I'm working on your life in this area, and we move. I'm good there, Lord. All I needed was a 10% fix. And God is saying, I want to restore, because when God restores, it's always 100. Always. Always. It may not feel like it, but it's always 100. So stay there. Amen? Stay there. Don't move. So he continues on. He talks about the rest of the women, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, and Herod's household steward, Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support and out of their private means, as was the custom for rabbis. So what this is saying, rabbis, disciples, is literally when it says that they were providing or contributing to their support, if you've ever heard this word deacon, ever, if you've been in church for a moment, deacon, some churches, deaconess, literally that word in the Greek is the word deacon. So literally, this is for everybody that don't believe that women can be in ministry. You do like my grandma used to do, put her glasses down and look over them like that. These women were disciples and were providing for the ministry of Jesus Christ. You don't see them being mentioned as apostles. So this is for the person that says, I can't do the work that God has called me to do because I don't have a tithing. It's not an excuse. I can't do what God has called me to do, Pastor Will, because I don't have a title. These women didn't have a title. She was not called Apostle Mary Magdalene. But in this text where it says contributing, it literally is the translation of what we call deacon. Praise God. So we fast forward. This is where the kids, they kind of sort of got stuck, right? So Jesus is taken to Golgotha. This is the crucifixion. It takes place at 9 a.m. Darkness comes upon the earth at 12 until 3 p.m. A lot of other things take place, but this is in the book of Luke. God, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus breathes out his last, and then the veil is torn from top to bottom. And then we jump to verse 40. And then it says, now, some women who were also watching from a distance, among them were Mary Magdalene. Here's the word of encouragement. I'm sure she was thinking, it's over. Jesus is dead. But here's the encouragement to us. When it looks like it's over, keep showing up. I'm sure Mary Magdalene heard the story of Jesus being resurrected, but it is one thing to hear a promise of God, but when you're in the face of something challenging, Listen, I'm looking at my Savior. I'm looking at my Lord hanging on the cross. I don't know if he can make it back from that. And have you ever heard God say something to you or you receive a promise, but then when that challenge is like right here, what do you do? And God is saying to us today, the same way that Mary Magdalene kept showing up, Jesus hanging on the cross, and she's still there. God is saying to us today, despite what you know, keep showing up. Don't stop coming. Amen? Don't stop coming. This is for the person that said, now, next week, I don't know if I'm going to church. God is saying literally to you, to receive this other word, don't stop coming. When Jesus was in Galilee, they used to accompany him. This is talking about the women, and they ministered to him. And there were also other women who came with Jesus. When it says accompanied, it means that not only did they walk with Jesus physically, but they also walked with him spiritually. Stick with God. Don't just do it just to be doing it. Do this walk accompanied. That's what it is, walking. Do this accompanying God on purpose. Man, so for the purpose, the person that you may have something that along your walk with God, God is saying, get rid of it. So you're walking with God in your daily devotion. You and God come along something. And God says, you see that? And you like, see what? He's like, that right there. That in your life.
Mama.
He says, you need to get rid of it. Come on, God. I've had this around for the last 10 years of my life, and now you want me to get rid of it? And he's saying, yes. Because if you don't get rid of it at this interval, it will become a hindrance to you in the next interval. And sometimes we don't want to walk with God because we don't want to see the things that he is revealing to us that he wants us to get rid of. But is there anybody that is looking to go all in? Don't respond to that too quickly. And say, God, I'm willing to walk along with you. And whatever it is that you reveal to me that I need to get rid of or that I need to start working on, God, I'm willing to do it little by little. Verse 46. So Joseph purchased a fine linen cloth for wrapping the body. And after taking Jesus down from the cross, he wrapped Jesus in the linen cloth and placed him in the tomb, which had been cut out by the rock. And then he rolled a large wheel-shaped stone against the entrance. Verse 47. And then it says, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were carefully watching to see where Jesus was laid. My question is, where's the 11 disciples? They're not there. So show up, even when the people with titles don't show up. Even when the people who were in the inner circle, they're not showing up because they're somewhere crying and they're afraid. Keep showing up. Listen, show up even when your grandma, who used to pray for you, don't show up. Because sometimes we lean too much on the spiritual strength of another person, and if they don't go, we don't go. And God is saying today, there's some people in here, I need for you to show up for you. And don't, you going to church today? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go. God is speaking directly to you and saying, I need for you, just like Mary Magdalene kept showing up, but the disciples were in this room crying and not knowing what to do and hiding, but the women kept showing up. And this is not just a message to women. Men, hear me. Women, hear me. Keep showing up, regardless of who else don't. I don't feel like going today. Well, I'll tell you how the message was. You feel like praying? I don't feel like praying. I'm going to pray for you. You want to read? I don't feel like reading. I'll tell you what God spoke to me. Keep showing up. Amen? Boy, I feel like I'm stepping on some great toes today. Let's rack it up. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome purchased sweet-smelling spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, consistent. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Please note that they knew that the tomb was blocked, but guess what they kept doing? They were still moving towards the obstacle, even though they didn't know how it was going to be moved. So even when you see or perceive that there is an obstacle, keep doing what God is telling you to do. Do you know why? Because verse 4 says this, "Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away." And so sometimes, so imagine, ain't gonna work, and the stone's gone. And if you had just kept moving, you would have saw that God moved it. But sometimes, who gonna move the stone? Michelle, you feel like moving the stone? You don't feel like, let's go back home. But not knowing that on the other side of your, I don't know, but let's keep going. I don't know, but let's keep going. That God has already made provision for what it is that you are concerned about. You just need to keep moving. Amen? As for anybody that's ready to stop, keep moving. Verse 5 says this. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right, wearing a long, stately white robe. And they were amazed and bewildered. That was an angel. And the angel said to them, "Do not be amazed." In other words, don't be awestruck. Don't get stuck. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See, here is the place where they laid him. Verse 7 says this, "But go." And this is where I want to stop. "Tell his disciples and Peter that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you." So Jesus had originally told the disciples, hey, in a moment, he says, the sheep are going to be scattered because the shepherd is going to be beat. And he said, but you know what? But I'm going to meet you in Galilee. And literally, he is literally saying this. The angel is speaking that same thing. And so, what is God moving in you to do? Do you have something that is standing in your way? Is it physical? Jesus moved the stone. Is it spiritual? Jesus cast out the demons. Is it mental? Jesus wants to be your therapist. There's no excuses. Amen. Whether it was physical, the stone was gone. Spiritual, Jesus says, I got that. If it's spirit on spirit, demon being an evil spirit. If it's spirit on spirit, God's saying, I got it. If it's mental, Jesus is saying, I want to walk with you as your therapist. Now, if you're currently going to therapy or counseling, Pastor Will said, I ain't got to go to you because Jesus is my therapist. You better keep going. But there are certain things, please see this and hear this. There are certain obstacles that only God can move. There are certain battles in the spiritual realm that only God can beat. So while you're working on your mental, and hopefully while you're working on your physical as well, please know that God wants to fight battles in the spiritual for you, but he needs you to be present. God will not show up for nothing. If his body is not there, Why the head gonna come and the body ain't there? And God is saying, if I'm trying to work, but you refuse to participate, God is saying, it's not that I don't care, but I won't waste my presence for somebody that ain't there. And so I pray that God is speaking to us today on this Resurrection Sunday. It's more than just a wonderful message of he got up. He got up for us so that we can get up. And so I challenge us this week. What areas of our life are standing as a hindrance? And God is saying, I want to resurrect you beyond it. I want to move you beyond it. It could be quick, or it may be a process like a therapy session. But please, people of God, don't give up. Don't give up.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.